We're going to be doing week three. We're in this little mini series, teaching series called Never Waste a Good Crisis. And what spurred it, of course, was this whole coronavirus and the whole idea that we're in this crisis, this health crisis. But it made me reflect that there's a lot more crisis than that are going on. And we go through crisis all the time. Crisis is one of those common experiences of life. And we have them whenever we encounter something that isn't what we expect. And it could be as little as, you know, the guy in front of us driving so that we're late for work, or it can be as major as disease or death. And for many, when we get into crisis, their primary goal is to survive it and to get back to normal. And what we're discovering is if we treat it like that, then we could actually miss opportunities, good opportunities to grow. And so we don't want to waste a good crisis. And so far, we've looked at two things. And the first we saw was that every crisis is this invitation from God to go deeper, an invitation to engage with him, to wrestle with him, because he knows that often a crisis is required to get us from here to where he wants us to go. And so we learned that we want to engage in that process. And then last week, we looked at the importance of our thoughts, that we're not trying to deny or ignore the problems in our crisis, but we don't want to land and settle in the negative. We want to be able to very intentionally direct what we think about in the direction that God wants us to direct about. Well, this is the third or fourth weeks, three or four. And what I want to talk about today is this idea of living the long game. And I'm going to explain a little bit what that means. But let me begin with a little bit of a story. I don't know if you've heard of Admiral Jim Stockdale. He actually ran for president in the 1990s. He accomplished a lot of amazing things. But what he's most known for, he was a vice admiral in the Navy. And he has the distinction of being the most senior level POW in the Vietnam War. He actually spent 8 years in the Hanoi Hilton in Vietnam as a prisoner of war. He was tortured about 20 different times. They wanted him to be the spokesperson, the face, you know, of what they were trying to do. He actually would cut himself with a razor so that he looked terrible. That way they wouldn't parade him in front of a camera. And Jim Collins, who wrote this book called Good to Great, which some of you may have read, actually interviewed Stockdale in the midst of this. And he asked him this question. He said, how did you ever survive 8 years in a prisoner of war camp? I mean, we think it's bad. It's been 8 weeks of coronavirus. 8 years in a prisoner of war camp. And here's what he said. And I'm going to put it up on the screen because I think it's an amazing quote. He basically said this, that's a quote from a little bit later. Let me read you the quote. I didn't put it on the screen. He said this. He said, I never lost faith in the end of the story. Okay? Now I want you to remember that statement. I never lost faith in the end of the story. We're going to come back and we're going to circle around to that. And he continued. He said, I never doubted that not only would I get out, but that I also would prevail in the end and turn the experience, and get this, into the defining event of my life, which in retrospect, I would not trade. 8 years in a prisoner of war camp. And he said, I wouldn't trade it because it actually changed my life. Now, that's crazy enough in itself, almost unbelievable. But Jim Collins went on in the interview and he says, okay, well, you made it out. You 8 years, you made it out. But there were lots of people that didn't make it out. Who didn't? Tell me about the people who didn't make it out. And Stockdale, he answered, he said, oh, that's easy. He said, it's the optimists that didn't make it out. And Jim Collins was kind of flabbergasted. He said, what do you mean the optimists didn't make it out? And here's what Jim said. He said, the optimists, so they were the ones who said, we're going to be out by Christmas. And then Christmas would come and Christmas would go. And then they would say, no, we're going to be home by Easter. And then Easter would come and go. And then we're going to be out of here by Thanksgiving. And then it was Christmas again. And here's what Jim said. In the end, they died of a broken heart. And what he described actually became known as the Stockdale paradox. Now you can put up that slide, Skeeter. I was a little premature with that earlier. He said this, and this is what it is. He says, you must never confuse faith that you will prevail in the end, which you can't afford to lose. In other words, you can't afford to lose faith in the moment of crisis. But you can't confuse that with the discipline to confront the most brutal facts of your current reality, whatever they might be. If I was to say it another way, I'd say, never give up hope, but don't deceive yourself about your current reality. Now, if we're not going to waste a good crisis, we must then keep that in mind and play the long game. And it's not a new term. When we say the long game, it's usually this whole idea of looking to the future, planning ahead, that kind of thing. Right now, we are 2 months into this crisis, and most people want it just to be done. They want to go back to normal. They want to be outside. They want to get with people. I mean, they just want this to be over. And when we're in a crisis of any type, honestly, that's usually what we feel. We just want to get back to where it's over. I just want direction. I just want clarity. I just want to be able to move back towards what we want. And it's this short-term thinking, honestly, if we live there, that often causes us problems. So the reason we missed it, what God is doing, is because, and this is the thing I want you to take away from today, because we have to keep this in mind throughout any crisis that we face, is that God is always playing the long game. Always. God is always playing the long game. And the writer of Hebrews knew this. This is where I'm going to look. I was thinking about all kinds of different places we could look at this morning. But the writer of Hebrews, we don't know who that was. It's a book in the New Testament. We're going to be in chapter 12. He understood this. And so what he did was he wrote this whole book. And in this one section, we're going to look at verse chapter 12. He actually wrote about this whole idea of the long game. So let me put up the verses here, and we're going to put them on the screen. And here's what he said. We're just going to look at the first three verses of Hebrews chapter 12. He said, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses." Okay, now, hold on. We got to pause here for a second. What is he talking about? And what you find here is that, and we've talked about this before, is anytime you see the word "therefore," you have to ask yourself, what is it there for? Because the writer is connecting what he just talked about to what he's talking about now. And so if you look at what's going on here, the whole previous chapter, the whole previous section that this guy was writing about was about the heroes of the Israelite faith. And it was about people who, honestly, they lived lives that had crisis after crisis after crisis, and they would have faith, they would trust God, and some of them would have these amazing experiences where God would come through, there'd be miraculous events. And then there were others who faced crisis after crisis, and in the end, they never really got satisfaction from their crisis. And what the writer is saying hey, in light of all of these people, in light of all of those stories, here's what I want you to do. So here's what he goes on and he says, "Let us throw off then," because of all those stories, "let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, and get this, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Interesting. This whole section is about perseverance in the light of problems and crisis and tragedy. And what I was thinking about it, and I thought, you know, the problem with perseverance, it's a great word if you're looking backwards. In other words, if I tell someone a story about how I persevered through a really difficult situation, it sounds very noble, doesn't it? You persevered. Oh, that's awesome. But if you're in the middle of a crisis and someone says to you, "Hey, you should persevere," it's not really helpful. It doesn't actually feel very good, because the idea of persevering almost feels like this white knuckle holding on kind of thing. And when we take that view, it's very difficult to do exactly this. So I was thinking about this, and I want to look at this three ways this morning, this idea of the long game. First of all, I want to look at the difference between the short term, playing the short game, and the long game. What is the difference between those? And then secondly, so how do we play the long game? And then third, wrap it up by looking at God's model of this that gives us amazing hope in the middle of any crisis that you face. So let's take a look at the first, short game versus long game. So short game versus long game. We live in this hyper fast-paced world, and we don't deal well with crisis because we want an immediate end date. We don't deal with any crisis that doesn't seem to have an end date. And you know this, because what everybody wants right now in our current crisis is an end date. When are we going to get back to normal? So what happens when we play the short game is we desire this swift resolution. We got no desire for this extended long-term battle. We don't have the stomach for it. We want answers. We want those answers now. We want to be finished. And so what happens is we begin to feel stressed and we begin to feel pressured. And when those quick answers don't come right away, what we want to do then is we want to push for them. We want to make them happen. We focus then, when it doesn't happen, we get frustrated. We focus on instant gratification. What's going to make me feel good in the now? how am I going to deal with this? We start to push and get angry and walk all over people. And what it often leads us to do is take the easy path, because we don't really want to engage in the long term. There's a, something on the news right now, I think it's hilarious, because I've heard lots about it, and it's called the coronavirus weight gain. And they said a lot of people are going to come out of this having gained weight because they're at home. And you know what the path of least resistance when you're at home watching TV a lot and binge watching Netflix? It's a lot of snacking. And there's a lot of people out there saying, look, you know I'm supposed to be exercising. I know I'm supposed to be eating better, but it's just so much work. I'd rather just do this. And when we play the short game, we do this in crisis all the time. The writer of Hebrews describes it this way. He said in there, throw off whatever hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. See, when we play the short game, what ends up happening is sometimes things that aren't even necessarily bad, but then also things that are not good for us, they trip us up, they entangle us, they get us so that we can't even get out of our own way in the midst of a crisis. Now, the long game, when we play the long game, here's the problem with the long game. It's boring. It's repetitive. It's two steps forward, one step back, one step forward, two steps back. And the results of the long game are slow. They're not immediate. They don't happen right now, which means we have to engage in regular work, daily work, weekly stuff. Instead of exerting one big burst of energy, a lot of times when they're we're playing the short game, we want to push really hard to get it done. We exert a whole bunch of effort. But when we play the long game, it's a lot of steady effort over a long period of time. And since we don't see the results of the long game, it takes a lot of patience. The writer of Hebrews in this section, he calls it running with perseverance. And he's not talking about a sprint. He's talking about that pace that lets you go for a very long time. Now, that's the difference between the short game and the long game. And crisis can actually transform us if we play the long game, because God's always playing the long game. But what does that look like? So that's the second thing I want to look at is, well, then how do we then play the long game? How do we take a long game perspective in the midst of a crisis? Well, you actually see this in lots of different places. So if you want a little clearer picture of what it means to take the long game, you'll see this in sports. Football coaches, when they set up a football game plan, what they'll sometimes do is they'll play a certain style of offense and run certain plays over and over and over for an entire game because they're trying to set up that one single play that they think is going to make a huge difference later in the game. Generals in battles and people that plan war do this all the time. They will spend months fighting wars a certain way, traveling a certain thing, setting up certain deceptions. They'll even sacrifice men and equipment, all because they're taking a long-term view of things. When the Allies invaded Normandy back at the end of World War II, they spent so much time actually building out of plywood, like planes and tanks, and they would move people from one end to the other of the country and back because they were trying to misdirect. They were playing the long game. Musicians do this all the time. They'll play for years in dives and hole-in-the-wall places, putting up with a lot of not great places and not a lot of money because they're playing for something bigger. And the author of Hebrews said this way, let's run with perseverance then this race that's marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So what does that mean? It means really what he's describing is the long game. He's shifting our view from what's happening in the moment only, because that's what the short game is. It's focusing to the short game to the exclusion of the long game. He's saying, how do we shift to this long game mentality? What does that mean? And really, it's talking about having hope for the future without denying the facts of my crisis. Holding on to that future, realizing that there is hope, even though right now in the middle of my crisis, it's not all that good. You know, because here's the thing. We don't have to deny the facts of our crisis because facts are just facts, right? When you're in a crisis, that's just what it is. I'm sick. I lost my job. I'm still stuck in this quarantine. My relationship is messed up. I'm not getting the answers I need. I'm frustrated. This is hard. That's all true. That just is what it is. We don't want to deny any of those things, but we play the long game when in the midst of all that, we ask this question, okay, God, what might you be uncovering in me in the midst of a crisis? I mean, our desire in any crisis is for God to solve things, to put them back, to heal us, to help us find a job. And those are all great things. And you should pray for them and you should ask God for them. He's inviting us to do that. But When you play the long game, our perspective is to know that whatever God does not remove, he uses. And this is a really hard thing. Whatever he chooses, he will use whatever he chooses not to remove. So we can ask for all these things, but whatever he doesn't take away, he's using. And I'm telling you, my friends, and I know this from experience, that what God is doing in the center of your crisis is what he's doing in your life right now. So don't shortchange it. Don't walk away from it. Don't bail out in the middle of the process by sacrificing and having a short game mindset. Because the very thing that we want removed is the very thing that God has chosen to use. Doesn't mean he started it. Crisis come from all kinds of places, but he'll use it. Because remember, God is always playing the long game. I was listening to a story. Andy Sandley is a pastor in the South, and he was telling a story about a friend of his, a guy named Reggie. And this guy had crisis after crisis. He learned as a young adult that he had a lung disease. And this lung disease was going to deteriorate his lungs till the point that someday he was going to be unable to breathe. He would suffocate and die. There was no cure for it. And I thought, what a horrible thing, because he would just deteriorate over time. Crisis, a horrible place to be. But then he got on a transplant list, and he actually got a transplanted lung. And you know how they do that. He got it. Life was looking up. They had to give him the drugs because they would otherwise his body might reject the lung. And so things are looking up. So it went from down to up. And then he found out a few years later that he had cancer. And the doctors came to him and said, hey, we can treat your cancer, but here's the danger. If we treat your cancer, it can actually wreck or stop or prohibit the drug you're taking to prevent your body from rejecting the lung, and your body might actually reject this lung. And that's exactly what happened. And Ed talks about how he went and visited this guy, Reggie, before, and it was just literally a days before he died. And he went into the room, and this guy had a whiteboard. And on his whiteboard, he had goals written up there. And they were goals like this, like, I will walk with Jesus every day. I will be grateful and live every day to the fullest. I will bless my family. I will invest in people for their good and for God's glory. I will not give up on this life and just run out the clock. I will let people love on me. And when Andy asked him about it, because it seemed like these were maybe lifelong goals that he'd had, he said, oh, no, these are just the newest iteration of goals that I came up with last month. And he did that knowing his life was about to end. How do you do that? How do you have that kind of perspective in the middle of a crisis? And here's what he said. He said, hey, God was there when things were really bad. He was good, and he walked with me. God was there when things got a lot better. He was good, and he walked with me. And now that things are horrible, God is still good. He's still walking with me. Nothing has changed. God is always playing the long game, and he invites us to do the exact same thing. So if we want to do that, and if we want to live out that long game and follow that, we do that because of the third thing that I want to look at, which is God's example. And what it really is this: never lose faith in the end of the story. See, the world around us questions why bad things happen to good people. Do you know that's not a question for Christ followers? We don't ask that question. Why do bad things happen to good people? And the reason is the very foundation of everything we believe is that the worst thing happened to the best possible person in Jesus. In fact, look at how the writer of Hebrews says this. He says, for the joy set before him, he, talking about Jesus, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. In other words, he went through all this stuff because he knew he was playing the long game. He knew that all this temporary pain and crisis was going to result in his glorification after he rose from the dead. And then the writer says this, consider him. In other words, think about Jesus who endured all this opposition so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Because here's the thing, if God's playing the long game and we never lose faith in the end of the story, that will help us utterly change the way we approach a crisis situation. I mean, if you want an example of the long game, you just have to look at God. I mean, he had a plan that he started when Adam and Eve, ate that fruit. I mean, it started, and it was a long game. I mean, it took thousands of years where he finally got to the point where we read that at just the right time, Jesus came and he died. He lived, he died, he rose again. And now you think that was a long game? Now it's been 2,000 years because God is still playing the long game, because he had the solution to humanity's problems in Jesus to solve the ultimate problem and mean that the end of the story is ultimately a good one. See, your story, my story, they're going to have multiple endings. The crisis you are in today will pass. It will end. The crisis will not last forever. There will be an end to that chapter of your story. And if you're playing the long game, it'll be a good end. But in reality, there will probably be more crisis, more issues, more chapters, more endings. But the ultimate story of God is one that is so good and so wonderful. And so when we play the long game in this life, knowing that, hey, what's happening right now in the moment, that's going to end and God's going to do some amazing things throughout my life. And then there's the other perspective of, and when this whole life is over, the end of the story is fantastic because God's already played the long game to win that one for us. Because here's the thing, guys. If God didn't play the long game, you and I wouldn't be here. If God hadn't played the long game, we would have never had the opportunity to know him. If God hadn't played and is still playing the long game, we would not benefit from his presence in this life. God continues to play the long game in this world, in our life, and far beyond it. God is always playing the long game. And when we play the long game, it's amazing how often in our crisis, things become a little less urgent, a little less important, a little less emotionally loaded than they do when we play the short game. Because long game worries more about the final destination than just the next bend in the road. So let's put these last 3 weeks together. We got one more week in this series. We don't choose our crisis. They come whether we plan for them or not. And we don't want to waste them. So if we take the last three things we talked about, I might put it this way. When you're in a crisis, what do? You wrestle with God in the moment with hopefulness, keeping your mind fixed on what is good. In other words, when you're engaged in the crisis, yeah, wrestle with God, go to him, you know, have all those struggles, but do it with hope, playing the long game and all the while keeping your mind fixed on things that are good. So here's what I'm going to leave you with today. I'm going to encourage you to pray a prayer this week. Maybe you've been praying a lot during this. Maybe you haven't been praying much, but I'm going to encourage you to pray this prayer that you're going through this time. And I would think this is true anytime, but particularly in crisis. And it's just this simple prayer. Again, I'm going to take this courtesy of a message I heard from Andy Stanley. I'm not going to plagiarize it because I like it a lot. And it's simply this prayer right here. Heavenly Father, use this until you choose to remove this. God, I'm in crisis. Would you use this until such time as you choose to get rid of it? Father, use this until you choose to remove this. God is always playing the long game. Let's play with him. Let me pray. God, I thank you that you see things from eternity. You don't see them in the moment. We have such a short-term view of things, and we want to play the game that way. Would you give us eyes that trust you, that play the long game, even when we don't see it, when we don't understand it, when we don't get the whole strategy? Would you help us to look past the moment into the long term? And would you give us hope because we know what the end of the story is? We have hope because not only are you going to use what we have and are going through in this life, but the end of the story is that you put everything back and you make all things right. So we take hope from both of those things. So Lord, would you use in us whatever you have chosen to not remove until such time as you make your move? We pray this in your name. Amen. Hey guys, I encourage you before Lindsay does this last song to join us for the after service Zoom call. We can talk about some of this stuff. And I want to encourage you also to keep on praying. It's very easy in the midst of a pandemic like this, and when we're very isolated, to get very self-focused. But I think there's something really valuable about extending our focus. So I want to invite you, or call you, if you will, to pray this week. And I'm going to give you a couple things that I want you to pray for, and then we'll try and send something out about this as well. But I want you to pray for Jesus to give you opportunities to be his hands and feet in the midst of all this. I found out yesterday that my next door neighbor had struggled through most of April with the coronavirus. His wife has it now. We didn't even know. I wish we would have. I'm not sure how we would have, but I wonder sometimes if I prayed that God would make me more aware, how can I help the people around me? So do that. And then pray specifically, how does Jesus and how is he going to want us as a church to re-engage? When we come back from all this, it's not going to look the same. We're going to do things differently. It's not going to be the way it was before. So how do we do that? How do we do that in a way that impacts our world? So pray for our church. Pray for yourself in that. And then expand your range even a little bit further. Pray for Mission 2535. As Skeeter said, just amazing. You guys are so generous. We have all this help we're sending down, but they continue to minister in a very difficult environment. Pray for them. And then pray even globally, because within the Christian Missionary Alliance that we're a part of, there's missionaries around the world that are struggling financially and in quarantines that make ours look pretty easy. And they're looking to be God's hands and feet there, so be praying for them. Keep your eyes wide. Keep them focused out in the midst of this. Be praying like that.